So God speaks through these words that He's preeminent in His creation. Jesus is. Everything we can see or can't see was created by Him. All is kept in control, held together by Him. The preeminence, as we go on here, in His government. It says He's the head, verse 18, of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. So Glenn's school, he teaches over there, Christ preeminent. That's where that comes from here. He is the one that's, He is ahead of the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. And Jesus was the first one to rise from the dead and live in heaven. There's others, Lazarus and so on and so forth, that were raised from the dead, but they came back to earth. What a shame to live physical lives again. But Jesus was the first one to transcend physical life to a spiritual, eternal life. And through Him, all of us also can know that we have eternal life. And that's why the Apostle John speaks of it, and Jesus speaking to Mary and Martha and them, and says, do you believe this? That though you die, yet you will live. You know, there's no second death. Your spiritual being doesn't change. You go instantly from right now praising God to right in heaven praising God, right in the presence of Christ. We don't have to fear that, being separated from God or losing our spiritual being of who we are ever again because of trusting in Christ. And He's the first one to do that. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. And all of us that trust Him and His work on the cross have the same hope as He does. He is preeminent in that way. He's the head of the church. He's the King of Kings. And I speak of that. He should be the preeminent one in our lives because we are the body of Christ. We are His body. And when we say Lord, are we acknowledging Him as Master, Josh said, or as ruler of our lives? We know the verses that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Paul will say that we're a stewardship for Him. So I think about that for a minute, and let's just ponder it for a minute. That why don't we let Him? Why don't we just get in sync with the Lord? That's really the message, the theme, the title of the message was In Sync, you know. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's turn over to the book of Exodus. In chapter 33, verse 18, here's Moses. Lord, Yahweh, the one who will reveal who He is, you know, the one that is and was and is to come, the one that I will be who I show myself to be. You can't really explain what that word means. In fact, they won't speak it. The Jewish people won't, because it's such a magnificent name. They give it an acronym of YHWH. Show me Your glory, and I will make all my, and God said to him, I will make all my goodness pass before you. He tells him to get up in a cleft of rock, and that he will put his hand over him. Of course, there's a nail scar through the hand. That's how he could see the backside of Jesus as he goes by. That's the only way we can see the universe and God's creation. And God, he's the invisible God, but He's express image. And so the kaf is what the word is there in the Hebrew. The kaf, the cup, you know, the hole in the handle of the cup, you know, is holding over the face of Moses. And he looks through the world, through the nail hole in Jesus' hand. And what does he see? It says in chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and he proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You know, that's Jesus, isn't it? What has He done for us? He is so forgiving. He is so patient with us. He is so full of mercy and grace and long-suffering, forgiving. Oh, all through the Scriptures, when God reveals Himself in Christ of who He is, the express image, the exact likeness of God, except in a visible reality that we can see and understand and know God by. We see Jesus and what He is and what He did and what He said is God. Then Jesus said, if you see Me, Thomas, you've seen the Father. Have I been with you so long? Don't you get it? I am God in the flesh. Verse 19, as we go on, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's the fullness of the Trinity, bodily dwell in Jesus Christ. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross, reconcile the universe. Romans 8 speaks of the whole creation being created in vanity, in hope, waiting for the glorious revelation of Jesus, bringing everything back into a perfect union, fixing it all. And that word reconcile, that's where I wanted to camp for a minute. Reconcile is meaning setting your watch. Literally is what it means to synchronize your watch. If you, Pat and I have watched 24 a few times. That's really a sort of real drama there, that going on sort of a present-day America with the threat of Islamic terrorists and all this stuff going on. Keeps you on the edge of your seat. But every time they get ready to make a move, you know, the government, everybody says, okay, synchronize your watches. Because if you say at 9 o'clock and somebody has 5 minutes off on their watch, at 9 o'clock when the move takes place, things get all messed up, don't they? They don't work out right. Somebody gets hurt. Well, God is the divine watchmaker. He has set time. He has numbered our days. He knows exactly when he's going to call us up. He knows exactly everything that's going to go on in the universe because He sees beyond time. He's transcendent beyond it. And so if He's in control, if He's the one that sets the watch, wouldn't it make sense for us to synchronize our watches to His instead of trying to get Him to change to our time? Don't we try to get God to change and fit into our time schedule? Instead of saying, okay, this is the day You've created, God. You created me. You know, what time is it? What time is it? Oh, okay. Let me set my watch to Your time. God is bringing human history through Jesus Christ. He knows exactly when the last person on the planet is going to receive Christ without Him having to pour His judgment from His throne. He knows that exactly when that will be. The Father does, the Son doesn't. Only the Father knows that. But it will happen, and we need to be aware that God is in control. We can't make things happen. We were reading out of John chapter 3, verse 8, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, hey, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, He moves like the wind. You never know whence He comes and where He goes, where He came from, how He come, when He's going to come, when He goes. So it is for those that are born again of the Spirit. I was sharing Wednesday night, when we go to the park and do an outreach, there may not be a single person get saved because it's only the Spirit of God that can save, move on someone's heart and somebody be saved. I would pray that the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow across that and there would be a great revival and a great many saved, but it's all up to Him, it's not up to me or you. But whether one or zero or 100, He'll say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, because we were faithful to take the gospel out, you see. It's not based upon success rate. It's based on obedience to what He's called us to do. And so, you know, that's all we can do is move in what God has called us to do and allow Him to do what He wants. So we want to change our watch to reconcile, to synchronize with God. We want our lives to synchronize with God's. This tells us how to synchronize everything we do and everything we are. And that's why we're teaching it verse by verse, that we might know how He would be worshipped, how we might remain and abide in Him.